हेलो एंड वेलकम एवरीवन टू एपिसोड 19 ऑफ इस पॉडकास्ट को क्या नाम दूं। आई एम योर लवली एस एंड बिफोर एनीथिंग थैंक यू सो 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 मच फॉर नियरली 4000 सब्सक्राइबर्स। ओफ इस फैंस को क्या नाम दूं यार, सच में लाइक माय हार्ट इज सो फुल ऑफ लव फॉर ऑल ऑफ यू। थैंक यू सो मच फॉर सपोर्टिंग आवर चैनल। आई रीड ईच एंड एवरी कॉमेंट एंड इट फिल्स माई डे विद अनएंडिंग हैप्पीनेस। So I'm back, and from now on, you can expect an episode analysis every other week. Before I go ahead, I have a guest on this show. Anyone who's been on India Forums and has been on the IPK Forum on India Forums knows her. She is talented. She is extremely intellectual. She is someone with whom I can speak for hours. And anyone who knows her is so thankful for her fan fictions and her unending love for IPK. Please welcome A, also known as Dramabuzz.af on IPK. Woo!
Hello, hello, hi.
How do you feel to be here?
I'm very excited. I didn't anticipate this to be a thing that would happen, especially when I started listening to the podcast, and I love these podcasts so, so much. They filled my days with joy last year when I would go on walks and hikes. So just to be here means so much, and IPK just means so much to me. I've been in the fandom since I was like 14. So it literally has been most of my life. So just ecstatic to be here.
I love the fact that you're here. I'm sure we all love the fact that you're here. So since you're a part of the fandom since you were 14, so my first question to you is, how did you come across IPK and how did you fall in love with it?
So I am a diaspora kid. I moved to the US around early my preteen years, and I was starved for some desi content. I was like, where do I go and expose myself to brown people and to Indian or Pakistani stuff? My family used to watch another show called Sasural Gendapool at the time. And while going through multiple links online to kind of watch that show with my mother, ended up falling upon a link that led to Espyagwa Namdu. So I actually watched three clips before I finally landed and decided to watch this show continuously. The first clip that I watched was like the third link on those Desi TV, Desi Tashan websites. And it was when Arnav hands Khushi the contract in the office, and she has paint splattered all over, and he says, "Welcome to hell."
Aaj ye tumhare liye office tha. कल से नर्क होगा। Welcome to hell, Miss Khushi Kumari Gupta.
I was like, okay, interesting, but I forgot the name of the show, so I didn't go back to it. Then I watched the red sari sequence, and it starts off with the photographer saying, "Mere khayal mein ye theek hai," and then Arnav just nods and goes and looks away. And I watched that show until like Akash tries to like make Khushi feel better.
मैं चाहे जो भी कहूँ, आप जो हैं, वो ही रहेंगी. और आप वो हैं जिसने ASR के सामने अपनी बात रखने की हिम्मत की. आप वो हैं जिसने ना सिर्फ अपनी गलती मानी, उसे सुधारने की कोशिश की. और आप कामयाब भी हैं.
And then I was like, should I watch it? Should I not watch it? But I was not continuous after that. I started watching it the 26th July episode of Teej when they crash against each other and Sindoor falls on Khushi. I'm a sucker for romances like that, cliches like that. And that did me in. The yearning, the desperation in Arnav's eyes, the aloofness of Khushi, the indifference. I was like, I want to be in on the ride.
Yeah. It probably still is one of the few shows that gets all those things right. Whenever I hear about the red sari above him, my heart just goes like, oof, memar java. But yes, today, episode 19, first of all, A, thank you so much. I love the fact that the short name for you is A. I have a tendency of hunting Scorpios, and the fact that her name is with an A and she's a Scorpio, I'm pretty sure 50% of me loving you comes from that.
Thank you so, so much. Just, you honestly flatter me half the time. Thank you.
Yeah, but thank you so much for giving that engaging story about how you fell in love with IPK, because I think like, seriously, if anyone over here discovered IPK through Hotstar, then get out. We have all discovered it through all illegal routes, whether it is that YouTube link or that Desi Tashin link or the Desi TV box. Please, literally, that is how we have discovered this show. So episode 19, I'm very happy to be discussing this track with you because we will be discussing from the moment Arnav decides to go back and visit Lavanya ever since he had the first breakup where Lavanya was in the Shaadi Ka Jora. Mm-hmm. Up till the point where Khushi, Arnav and Khushi end up on their unintended extended date to Nainital. That's what I think it was, a very strange date to Nainital. Oh, also the point of focus for today's episode will be what brought Arnav back to Lavanya. So yeah, we will start with what we did not like. And as you know me, I will start off with the technical points of what I didn't like. The first thing I did not like is that this is one of the few places where I could see the body doubles. So literally, the wig was different colored, which was really sad because otherwise the body frame is exactly like Sanaya's. So there was no way I could have seen the difference if it was not for the odd wig. And even in some places where you know Khushi has a very, like, her hair is tied, right? But the OTS, which is the over-the-shoulder shot, you see the hair over there is of someone who has open hair. But I will forgive it though. I'm not really as nitpicky with these things over here is because they try their best to make it work in a scene. Another technical point that stands out is Lavanya's desi kapde. They are doing no favor to the gorgeous Lavanya Kashyap. And I am so disappointed that none of her outfits, like, I could still give them a leeway that why in the beginning her outfits look exactly like Khushi's, maybe because Khushi was telling Lavanya how to select it. And it stands at such a bitter contrast to her otherwise work clothes that we get to see right before the Nainital track. I am just disheartened that they do not put more work into Lavanya's outfit, considering she works for a fashion company.
Yeah, I'll just probably add on and expand on it because I totally wholeheartedly agree. There is this little trope of stating that somebody who dresses in the way Khushi dresses or Lavanya is mimicking Khushi's dressing is not, you know, westernized or modern or forward-thinking or progressive, and that's far from truth. You can have such nice Indian clothes that are, like, you know, full-sleeved and everything that still look hot and sexy. Like, you can have that. And I think it's a disservice to our culture.
Yeah, the reason why it bites to me is because Lavanya is pretty much in the economical and social standing that the Raizadas are in. When I see what Anjali is wearing, those invisible, beautifully embellished saris, and then I see what Lavanya is wearing, that always stands to me like as a weird contrast. It would have made sense if nobody in that house wore traditional clothes apart from Khushi. Therefore, I could see why Lavanya absolutely has no template or guide. I'm very passionate about this, but I'll stick to plot now. What I did not like plot-wise, I still can't get what's Nani's problem. I understand what her character is, why she is bitter, because you need Nani to disapprove of Lavanya for Khushi to be in the house. Because the day Nani approves of Lavanya, then you're done with that plot point. Then Khushi does not have to come to home. So I understand why she's there. But, you know, at this point, it feels less like Nani's character and it feels more like a plot service. Therefore, the plot is not working. Because you know that they're pulling this like a stale chewing gum. And people don't have too much of a problem with it because we all feel that Nani disapproves of Lavanya because she's not Khushi and we all want Khushi to end up with Arnav. But I just have a lot of problem thinking because there's nothing more this girl can really do.
The lack of motivation for Nani becomes glaringly obvious in this track. Not just that, the writing is bad in terms of explaining the motivations. We see Mami cast a little bit of, okay, now it's going to be Akash's turn because Arnav's life is getting a little bit on track as per what the family wants. With Nani, I came to understand she was instantly charmed by Khushi. She found out that Khushi works at Arnav's office and she did not mind that at all. She thought it was amazing. Anjali picks up on that. Anjali uses that as a way to leverage Lavanya's position by hiring somebody that Nani actually likes and is charmed by. But we don't get an expansion on that. We don't get any kind of motivation. We don't get any monologue. We don't get any scene between Nani and Anjali where Nani can actually talk about why she prefers Khushi. And at this point, every single family member, including Lavanya, has only seen Arnav Khushi interaction where either one of them is shouting at one another. So there's no reason for anybody to be shipping Arnab and Khushi together, or to be thinking that they can be friends or they can be even civil to each other, because we're consistently with an audience outside of like us, obviously as viewers, we're seeing Arnab and Khushi bickering. So the point of keeping Khushi in that house does no good to anybody. The only person it starts to make sense for is Lavanya, but it is from this point onwards, not before that. So that is a big gaping hole in terms of writing, in terms of just using things for plot device, as you said, but like there's no substance to it. There's nothing that like justifies a lot of it. You have all the things, you have all the ingredients, you have the perfect foundation, build upon it.
That is very well said. I think a little extension to that would be like everything related to Lavanya and Khushi's need to be in the Raizada house. It becomes very obvious that they're doing this to put Arnav and Khushi under the same roof. And therefore the logical reasonings behind this is slowly and gradually falling through. Like it never made sense in the first place, but in the first day we at least had Dee and Nani making enough tantrums for us to be like, okay, he wants the piece of the house to be there. So he's doing all of this. Because even now when I see what all they're teaching Lavanya to, what like put flowers in a garland to, like does she want a priest for the home is what I'm asking. Because at this point, anything that they're teaching Lavanya is, I'm not saying it's unimportant. I respect religion. I respect culture. But I do not see how any of this is making Lavanya a good wife. And it's just awkward that I don't know what Khushi is teaching Lavanya at this point. I think that's what becomes weird, sits off with me, is that what is she teaching Lavanya at this point?
So this is what my interpretation is. And a lot of my interpretation is kind of filling up the holes and working with what we saw. I think what Khushi is there for is to just teach Lavanya how to function in the Raizada household. She's there to make Lavanya's transition from being just Arnav's girlfriend and living in with Arnav to living in with his family. And I think this is the entire problem with the whole thing. Even if like there are other characters like Anjali and Nani who thought a girl like Khushi would be a great fit for Arnav because they knew Arnav before he was ASR, before he was this arrogant, before he was this entitled. Because that happens in a lot of families, right? You grow up, you get more arrogant, you get more self-entitled, you think you're doing your best because your family is not understanding you, but your family is still looking at you from the perspective of how they remember you as a child. Anjali and Nani are looking at Khushi as a potential partner for somebody like that, somebody who's the chote, the Arnav who's inside ASR, then we don't see a justification of it. And if you're bringing Khushi as a person who can kind of bring that side of Arnav back, alongside the fact that she's somebody who seamlessly fits into the Raizada household because their household operates in a lot of ways that a traditional Lucknowi household does and Khushi's household does, then you need to like expand upon it. You need like some monologues in it. You need some more scenes about it. What we see a lot of Khushi doing is not tutoring or telling her what to do. We see her kind of ease things in and provide her with general instructions. Like they could have literally had like one of their house help do that job to just like tell Lavanya how to like do that. So Khushi's role is basically useless in a way unless, and just to kind of like clarify it, there are certain households, even like rich households in South Asia, where despite having a cohort of servants, the woman of the house in the end like makes the food. Like you have the ingredients laid out and everything and she goes in. We see that Anjali doing in the earlier episodes. So it's definitely okay for them to show that the temple is only touched and cleaned by the members of the household, not the staff, and the people cooking in the kitchen are the household members, not the staff. But like, there's no justification for it. There's no elaborate. This is something that like, even if a house staff member is not doing, even if it's your servant, your Hari Prakash is not doing that, Hari Prakash can tell her that. It's like these little things you have to think through. You have to make the writing tight. And over here, we clearly see that just for the sake of putting two people under the same roof, we are losing out on motivation. And that makes me so mad because we have all the ingredients to make the motivations appear.
The next thing that bugs me is we start seeing Payal being removed from Khushi's emotions. And this is very inconsistent with a character who can apparently read Khushi at the back of her hand. Payal is supposed to be that to Khushi what Anjali is to Arnav. Payal is one of the few people who absolutely does not misunderstand Khushi even on the first day. She does not ask questions. She does not think Khushi messed up her wedding. She knows that her fiancé did that. Even when Khushi lies that only paint got splattered on her face, Payal realized that something went very wrong with her first day at office. Listen, if a random person went on street and told me, hey, you know, my friend has started developing feelings, I will know that the person is talking about themselves. I do not see the plot changing, even if Payal is slowly becoming aware of Khushi's growing attraction to Arnav. But she's keeping quiet because she does not want to bring it up for the fear that if bringing it up might actually enable her emotions. And Payal is someone who likes to let things go the way they are. Like, it is completely Buaji's response to be like, oh, Sanka Devi, you're going crazy. It is not Payal's response to be like, Khushi, nowadays you're speaking whatnot.
I think I'm going to agree with part of your argument because I think, like, I know, I'm going to agree with part of it, not the entirety of it. Because what I see happening in terms of the growing distance between the sisters is not good direction. Or maybe, like, I think there is, like, some semblance of direction because I'm able to understand that, but not good writing, maybe. Payal is falling for Akash. She invites him for tea without realizing that her parents or her family members are not home. This is not the Payal we know. Payal is growing absent-minded. Her thoughts are circling around Akash. We see a lot of Akash simmering his thoughts about Payal when he sees her, but we don't see a lot of Payal doing the same, even though we do see that Payal reciprocates to an extent. Like, she's happy when the car is, when he brings his car to the garage. So you see, like, both these girls are going into their own bubbles of love and they don't know what to say. They say things to each other, and we see that later in, like, different tracks where Payal is talking about Akash, but she's very, like, you know, far removed from it. She's like, it's not going to be possible for me. Khushi is talking about Arnav. Neither of them are understanding one another. So we are seeing these two sisters go into different bubbles and losing their connection because they're not able to articulate their feelings. But my complaint from that track and the part that I would agree with is that why don't we see more of Khushi and Payal? Why aren't we see the disconnect and the rift as much as we later on get to see with Arnav and Anjali? I don't think there was necessarily anything wrong with Payal's reaction. I think it could be justified if you, like, put in all the pieces together. But again, not everybody's going to sit there and justify that. You want to have good writings to be able to, so that people are not like, oh, why did this happen? And move along. People want to be like, oh, this is why this happened. You want that reaction. So,
yeah, no, I get that. I agree with that. And even in the later interactions between Payal and Khushi, I don't expect them to be honest with each other, because to be honest with each other, you need to accept the emotions that you're fighting hard to be in denial of. So I get them not trying to share their thoughts to each other. But even then, like, Khushi could sense when Payal is upset. Even after the engagement where both the sisters are actually talking about completely different partners in their own head.
Khushi, kahin tum Shyamji ke bare mein baat to nahi kar rahi ho na?
Aur aap? कहीं आप अभिषेक जी के बारे में बात तो नहीं कर रही?
Even then, in that scene, you see those two realize that something is off. And it's a realization that it's all I need. Because when scenes like this happen, where it's very evident that one person is behaving differently, because later in the episode, when Payal tells Khushi ki tumhar, like, I understand every tear, every smile of yours. I'm like, you do not.
Tumhara har sukh dukh, tumhari har ek khushi, har dard sirf hame pata chalta hai.
And this is not good writing where you do not. Like, it's not like Payal has that pride in herself that she understands her sister, where in reality she never truly did. It's not the poetic format. It is like, we have not seen evidence of this claim that you're making. And I think this is something that causes a huge problem in the second half of the show. That is, they're alienating characters from Arnav and Khushi's story. So therefore, they start becoming less relevant to the story. Anjali can understand Arnav is changing. She remains important to the story. Shyam can understand that Khushi is changing. He remains important to the story. Everyone else disappears. And that problem comes from here, is that when you're disconnecting characters from the central plot, you're going to lose them out sooner or later. The reason why I want them to be so tied in is because I know they play a central role in Khushi agreeing to marry Arnav, and therefore you need these moments to give Khushi a very compelling reason to say why yes, of course. Because Arnav, I do not doubt his decision a second when he goes on the road and starts crying and does not know what to do. I'm with him over there, because the writers have constantly maintained that relationship and Anjali's connection to Arnav. And I think that is what I'm afraid of. Like, when I see Payal and Khushi losing out their connection, I am then not so convinced of Khushi moving the world for her sister. And I'm not saying it will not happen. Definitely it'll happen. But visually, I am not moved by it. I'm moved by Arnav crying that his sister is pregnant and he cannot do anything. That's it. And the final thing that I did not like plot-wise is, I never liked the show how they tried to make Mami or Lavanya as less ideal women. And they add this with the little puja that's there, the little festival that's there of the little children. It was very much playing into the stereotype that Lavanya is not suitable because she doesn't get along with kids. And I'm just like, you already had many stereotypical things as to why she does not fit as the ideal Bahu. Because who else does Nani hold responsible as not the ideal Bahu? It's Mami. And she also does not fit well with the kids. I hate this thing of women easily fitting with kids. And such double standards. Arnav hates children. But it's his character. Nobody questions him for it.
I do. I completely agree with, like, you know, turning women into caricatures of stereotypes. So definitely on you over there. But the last thing, and I don't think this is something that a lot of people noticed that I didn't like about this track, was the pimple. I didn't like how the pimple was treated. Because first of all, ladies and gentlemen, everybody who's listening, skincare is extremely important. Take care of your skin. Okay. This is how you present yourself to the world. No makeup is good. But skin, you know, it shows whether you're healthy, it shows whether you're glowing from inside, whether you're happy, whether you're sad. You got to take care of your skin. If you work in fashion, you got to take care of your skin. Lavanya works in fashion. We also tend to forget Lavanya is a 24-year-old, 25-year-old. The biggest problem in her life is for her boyfriend's family to like her. Now look at that context. So she has a boyfriend who got her back. She's happy with it. She's happy in her relationship, regardless of what's going on. Obviously, the next big problem is going to be her appearance. Nobody takes that pimple seriously. And we as viewers are also not taking that pimple seriously. And I think it kind of goes to show again with what you talked about, the ideal woman. We want to say that Lavanya is shallow. We want to say she's frivolous. She's, you know, she doesn't care much about things that matter, like puja. She doesn't care much about other human beings, like those little children. I mean, she worked hard on coming up with the name tag idea. So we got to give her that. But the fact that we are chalking up women, a person who cares about their appearance. And we see the same with Mami, right? She's wearing a face pack and everything. We see all of that chalked up to being shallow and non-ideal. That's not okay. Even the most sanskari person makes sure that they look well put together before they come to a temple, okay? That it would be insulting to show up to prayer or be in a prayer room of any religion when you are not put together, when you're not clean, when you're not at your prime best. And we see that with Lavanya. So I was very upset by this pimple fiasco. I think we all did the pimple in some injustice. And frankly speaking, when I was 14 and watching this, I felt very attacked because I had a head full of acne scars.
I was so offended when Arnav held Lavanya as irresponsible. I mean, like, you're holding someone irresponsible for having an allergic reaction. It should have clearly been something that, it should have been that Lavanya canceled a very important meeting to do something else. That is irresponsible. That makes sense. But Lavanya treating her, listen, she works in an industry where appearance makes all the difference. It makes complete sense for her to try and get her pimple treated before she heads in for a big meeting in Nainital.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But I am actually not mad at Arnav reacting like that. First of all, that is a typical alpha male reaction. I am saying alpha male in quotes and I'm making fun of Arnav over here, just for clarification. I think Arnav, this is one of those instances where you see Arnav is an insensitive boyfriend. Arnav is not an attentive partner. Arnav is not an ideal boyfriend. Arnav takes Lavanya for granted. She's doing so much. She's putting so much effort in their relationship. So we could have maintained that traction of Arnav and Lavanya's journey if we had seen all the other women like Nani, not even Nani, if Anjali and Khushi had been more considerate to Lavanya.
Anjali was considerate. She was genuinely worried when she saw that pimple break out. I got pissed off. Okay, this comes into the next track, but I got pissed off when Khushi blames Lavanya for having the pimple.
हमने तो कहा था लावण्या जी से कि ये सब पाउडर और क्रीम ना लगाएं। पता नहीं इनमें क्या क्या होता है पर लावण्या जी है कि सुनते ही नहीं। अरे कौन सुंदर नहीं लगना चाहता है? पर प्राकृतिक तरीके भी तो होते हैं ना, जैसे बेसन का लेप, नीम के पत्ते कूटे हुए, गुलाब जल, मुल्तानी मिट्टी, दूध, मलाई।
It makes sense. What Khushi is saying makes sense, but it should have been less implied. It's not falling into the form of Khushi being no more knowledgeable about skincare. It's falling into the track of Lavanya is so modern that she chooses that she does not believe in organic treatment of the skin. And I'm like, if anyone should know, it should be Lavanya. It should be the other way around.
No, absolutely. I think it's like there are nuances in that conversation. I don't know whether it's just male direction, male writing that ultimately resulted in us looking at that. But it did upset me that we as viewers are given the perspective of, hey, how frivolous is this pimple, when it shouldn't have been. And how can you shoot something like that with sensitivity while maintaining the aspect that she is in a relationship with her boss, who is completely insensitive and inconsiderate to her needs, even though they had an ugly breakup and he just got her back and he's going back to the same tone. So I think that entire thing needed a lot more nuance than it was showed. Like, the ingredients of this track are very good. You have something really good in your hands. And you don't have to be like a progressive preaching show in order to like show something multifaceted as that. You just have to be considerate about a lot of different aspects and show that instead of just like, hey, people who care about how they look are stupid.
That is so true. Also, I just realized I do have a little pimple on my cheek. I just like, oh, there is something red over here. Oh, I do have a pimple.
Me too, next to my nose. I slept on with my makeup on last night.
Oh my God. But yeah, I think also like this whole pimple mess would have not been a problem at all if Lavanya snaps at Arda very well when she does snap. So it would have been really amazing if Arda would have been angry at her that who cares if you have a pimple, and she'd be like, I'm not Arda Singh Raizad and I'm not a guy. So people don't care if you have pimples, but they care if I do, Arnav.
You are so right. And I think as much as I love that Lavanya, for Arnav's love, does her absolute best to give everything possible, but she's also Arnav's equal in an aspect that Arnav acknowledges from day one.
If Lavanya just simply stood up for herself in a few episodes, I'm not saying it's easy to stand up, not at all. I'm saying we did see that flare of Lavanya. Because that flare exists, that's exactly why we're talking about it. I'm not saying it's easy for people to stand up against partners that they're intimidated by or hold a certain position over them. But we've seen Lavanya snap or have really amazing logical conversations with people around. We've seen her questioning Arnav's decisions at times. So there would have been no change to the plot. It just would have been better digestible. But now we come into what we liked. And of course, I'll start off with a few technical things. First of all, Sanaya's acting. This whole track goes to her. She is, my God, there was no monologue for Khushi falling in love. Just the very fact that her happy smile on seeing Lavanya patch up, that cracks into a tear. My mind, literally the comedy in this track goes because Sanaya acts so well over here. Her little expressions, that one eye coming out of the blindfold, that single eye is doing more acting per square foot than established Bollywood actors are doing right now.
I definitely think Sanaya has an amazing comedic timing, because there's a big chunk in the second half of the show that's only digestible, and we only get aspects and perspective of that those tracks because Sanaya's comedic timing is spot on. I think this might be biased of me, but I think she has better range than Barun. I think Barun is a fabulous actor. He's a strong actor, and he's a character actor, as we've seen with his career so far. But Sanaya is a director's actor, and she gets it. And she makes you feel the pain. She makes you feel everything. And there's this quote by this Pakistani actor, Zahid, something his name is. And he said, acting is about nazakat. झलक की नजाकत, एंड दैट इज लिटरली व्हाट सनाया इज इन दिस एंटायर ट्रैक. And but on to an aspect, because we see a lot, I'm going to touch upon like what I liked about this track. And that has a lot to do with the nuances and a lot of eyes that Barun was doing. But this, the complications, because we're seeing Sanaya fall in love, we're seeing Khushi fall in love. So that is like a whole area of emotions. And we're seeing not just her denying herself that she's in love, we're seeing her happily make excuses and believe in those excuses. But the other thing that I liked about this track was technical aspects beginning. I love the color symbolism in Hushi's clothes. The beginning of this track, she is wearing red and a maroonish shade per se, without even like going into like what like every color means. We just know that the red is a very strong emotion. We're seeing Khushi come from a strong space of making everything right for Arnav and Lavanya. After that entire incident, Khushi cries and stuff, and she is like, okay, I'm gonna be normal, I'm not gonna think about it. And she's in yellow, she's trying to be herself, she's trying to be the ray of sunshine, she's trying to be Khushi. And then you move into Khushi being wearing green for the most part, and then wearing blue. So green is a color that grounds you more, that is more about growth. And we see a lot of growth in terms of her questioning why she's feeling that. And I love that. I love that so, so much. I love that they utilize, first of all, green is Sanaya's color. Just beautiful. Sanaya Rani is so beautiful. I have hots for her. Green is her color, and I love the use of green over here. I also love the shots of her feet when she comes towards Arnav from the back to kind of feel. And on In Sphere of Dhug Dhug, I goddamn loved how everything falls silent and then goes dark. And the only ray of sunshine is Arnav. What a beautiful piece of cinematography. What a beautiful piece of direction.
Practical effects. The impact of that always is more than visual effects. I felt I was in Khushi's heart. And I think everyone went right into Khushi's heart in that scene. It is very common in ITV to have that circle camera work. But the reason why I love it in IPK is that they only use it for very specific moments. For moments that change the sequence. Like in Tej, like the hospital hug. And now, Khushi realizing she's in love. And it was so beautifully done. The camera work was stellar. I think what I loved about the show is that they only try to make the writing and the actors tell what the story is and tell what the emotions are. And everything else was just an assistance. So well done.
Just to add on to it, everything is just going on, but Arnav is the only person who, while standing in the same position, turns to look at her. Oh my God, that leaves an impact, and that person is the only person looking at her. Everything else is just going on. So this is where Khushi's perspective starts narrowing in. Everything becomes from for Arnav, for her. It's going to be about, does he like this? Does he not like this? And I love the line where she says, I wonder what he's thinking about me. But then this girl has never thought about this. From anybody's point of view, she's never been like, Bua ji, mere baare mein kya soch rahi hongi? Amma, mere baare mein kya soch rahi hongi? Jiji ko pata nahi kya lag raha hoga? Sham ji pata nahi kya soch rahe honge? She's always like, wo Lord Governor apne aap ko kya soch samajhta hai? And now she's like, wo Lord Governor hamare baare mein kya soch rahe honge? And then she tries to justify it. Oh, her justification. She's like, sirf jaane se dhadkane tez nahi hoti, dur hone se bhi dhadkane tez hoti hain. So it's canceled out. She's like, PEMDAS. So the acting in this track is phenomenal in terms of both of them being on what point of love they are. Phenomenal. I love that Arnav starts appearing more in casuals from here on forward.
Absolutely. A few other things I'd like to touch on is good writing, which is very funny because some time back we were just complaining about the writing. Comedy requires good writing. It is one of the most difficult genres to write out of everything because you do not know what can make people laugh universally. And this show does it effortlessly. Yes, Sanaya's acting, the perfect editing. I think what really works is that editor just knew where to put the cuts. So it all works on the perfect beat. So great job over there. Had some really good dialogues. Khushi literally asking Devi Maya for three kids that has inspired a ton of fan fictions where Arnav and Khushi end up with three children. Also, Khushi immediately realizes what she just asked Devi Maya. I think I like that. Khushi's not such a child that she will ask for anything and forget about it. She's just like, Devi Maya, give me three kids. And then she's like, no, I mean, find me those three children. And I love those little kids calling Arnav Jijaji. I'm like, this is on the nose foreshadowing, but I love it. Only because of how scandalized Arnav appears.
He out loud hears the word Rakshas.
Didi, ye hi hai wo.
Wo?
Wo Rakshas Lal ka bana.
He's so offended. I love that for him. He's so offended. He's like, ye sikha rahi ho tum in logo ko ki main Rakshas hu.
And also talking about good writing, that on the script, Arnav is like, I'm not a monster. And I swear, I'm pretty sure that the next line is Arnav yells like a monster. Brilliant. Brilliant job. That is there. And I love the background scoring. It is so well done because Khushi's heartbreak on seeing Arnav and Lavanya together, apart from Sanaya's out of the world acting, you understand that because there's this happy tune going on. And then there's this very slight, soft beat, just one drum beat. And then there's a very slow, long, drawn-out Rabbave. And the Rabbave only plays when tears finally come out of her eyes. And that tune is heartbreaking. I will never forgive them for using that highly lyrical cue, Dard Hai Itna, when this sad Rabbave breaks your heart. That scene made me cry. And even later when Arnav falls sick and he's lying and Khushi's feeding him jalebis, I always have a little bit of iffy feeling when someone is unwell and a romantic tune is played because the other person is vulnerable. And you do not want to romanticize scenes where someone is vulnerable and absolutely needs your care. But what I genuinely love is they play a very soft instrumental version of it, where there's no Rabbave playing. And that immediately translates the scene that Khushi's concern is the love she's feeling. She's not having an Arnav moment where there's this beautiful, vulnerable man in my arms. It's her concern that what has happened to him, what has gone wrong. And that concern is coming out. That concern is stemmed from love. And the only difference between that is because of the kind of Rabbave that they're using. The music is so soft. And you understand that all of the music over there is sentimental.
Just to add on to the background music, a huge shout out to that person if they ever manage to find this video. We love you and we owe our lives to you. Second, yes, the background music is so instrumental. And I think the few instances where I love the usage of it is when she gets the blindfold off, there's Dhak Dhak. And then he says, what are you doing? And then she just shakes out of it. And she's like, huh? That little like Dhak Dhak transformation, perfect. And then the same thing when she goes to apologize, the way when he laughs and it turns into a Rabbave situation for Khushi, it's not a his Rabbave, it's her Rabbave. And that distinction, the background music is Devi Maya in the show.
Yes. And the final thing that I want to talk on the technical side of it, what I liked is, actually two things, sorry. One is I love how Arnav is written in this track. Because so far, this show is from Arnav's point of view. Therefore, Khushi appears as nervous. Khushi appears as flighty. Khushi appears as someone who's not reciprocating his Rabbaves to the whole extent that he is. But for the first time, because there's a switch in the narrative over here, just for a few episodes to be like, meanwhile, this is what is going on with Khushi's head. You see that Arnav only appears as irritated, annoyed, angry, or he's rolling his eyes. And half the time he's saying, what are you doing? In this one track, you do not have Arnav staring at her with soulful Rabbaves. And that just confirms my theory that Arnav and Khushi are completely unaware that they're both having Rabbaves for each other. They have no idea, which is why I think Diwali, right before Diwali, I think the first time they're realizing that they're both reciprocating the same intensity of emotions. And then at the morning of Akash Pal's wedding, because they've actually been out of sync. Nobody sees that these two people are having such long, intentional, emotional moments. And because we've switched the narrative, I'm just like, what is this for two episodes? Arnav appears like he has no emotions for Khushi. And then I'm like, oh, this track is written from Khushi's perspective, which is precisely why he seems to have no emotions for her. she only sees Arnav staring at her, like at their finger touch, as like, Khushi, what is wrong with you? And I'm pretty sure if there was an alternative written of the track, Arnav is just being like, oh my God. The reason why I love this is because the same parallel, we can draw this to Tej, where Arnav and Khushi, their hands touched. And Arnav is just like, oh my God. And Khushi instead appears nervous. And over here, Arnav is just like, Khushi, what's wrong with you? And Khushi runs away. And he's like, she's weird, which I probably think she heard. So I find it so interesting that the way Arnav is written in these few episodes is like someone who probably has no romantic emotions for Khushi. And I think that is such an A-class thing.
Just to kind of add on like what you talked about Khushi's perspective, I do think this is the second time that Khushi hears him say, "Tum kitni ajeeb ho tum," or "ajeeb ho tum." And this is kind of us also seeing Arnav softening up to her weird antics for something that he was like, impossible. You are orchestrating all of it. It's turning into, maybe not. Maybe she is weird. Maybe she is just, you know, up in the air like that. And we're seeing that. We're seeing like him, his mind tried to make sense, but also accepting that anything about Khushi would never make sense. And I love that little transition, because that is exactly what we need for Arnav to come from like this highly suspicious point to kind of just accepting as is. To kind of, obviously later he goes back and regrets that he accepted it as is.
Correct. And the final thing that this track did well is that they know how to develop chemistry. There is no forced rabaves. The editor does a brilliant job of not highlighting every moment with the first rabave, rather using very softer, milder tones to show that there is some level of interest happening. Just the right close-ups are used. One thing I love about IPK is the lack of excessive slow motions. A lot of what's happening is real-time or a little bit stretched from real-time. I think they know how to develop chemistry by having those few pauses every here and there, few glances. Like, they have the perfect composition, they have the perfect framing, and they have the perfect blocking. Characters are positioned in certain ways, side characters are positioned in certain ways, and you have these little moments that you can see that the chemistry is developing. Like something as simple as Arnav appearing in more casuals, therefore being a little bit less guarded in front of Khushi, if you hold his formal attire as his ASR and his casual as Arnav. So him appearing more in his casuals around her, them having specific close-ups, like Khushi holding on to Arnav so she does not fall, that was shot very well without overtly romanticizing. I like the fact that the main issue was that Khushi's concerned for Arnav. She is not happy at the fact that he needs her to be okay. And I think that is what kind of makes us root for them, because I'm just like, oh, little babies. I think this is a good point where plot-wise we can talk what we liked about this. A, you go first.
What I really, really liked about this track was obviously Arnav and Khushi falling for one another, the little bit of progression in their journey, Khushi finally coming to terms with why she cared enough about Arnav's happiness. Because it's not just Lavanya's friendship that is driving her to bring both of them together. It is a lot of her care and her equation with Arnav that is driving her to do that. But obviously, as you said, we don't see a lot of Khushi's perspective going into this, because the show is from Arnav's perspective. Khushi is our unreliable narrator. Arnav is the person that whose narration we really take into account for. So in terms of that, I think like it definitely build up a very strong and a very subtle notch towards where this relationship can go and how it's progressing forward. Another thing that I loved about this was Lavanya and Khushi's friendship. The way Lavanya just like, while concerned about her pimple, is like, okay, I'm stressed out about this. What are you stressed about? And she says that by pointing at the tray of jalebis that she is eating. So I love that. I love that Lavanya knows that little quirk of hers, because Lavanya had before not paid any attention to Khushi. And I love Khushi's care for Arnav that came out. And I love how she, after this track, doesn't necessarily try to distance herself from Arnav as she does right now. There's no more concrete and a very, very solid way where she kind of tries to move away from her motivation of staying away from Arnav in order to avoid those feelings, because she sees that when she does that, she wasn't able to help him when he needed, and he fell because she was trying to avoid him. Yeah, that I would say like that, that would be my favorite part of these tracks. And in general, I just love Arnav's dilemma about how things have moved between him and Khushi. I love how he reacts to her wink. I think that is adorable. And I also love how he realizes her winks are not what winks are supposed to be in his eyes. That she's just winking in terms of how as children you wink to somebody that I'm joking. And he realizes that there is naivety and an innocence in her wings, and he's just like, stop, because he can't handle it. But I love that the ongoing dilemma. I love when he comes to ask for the charger, his eyes are like, what did I do? And now he has to think about what he did, and he's probably going to chalk it up to Ajeeb Hai Ye. I also love Arnav's not love per se, but plot wise, I love Arnav's growing inattentiveness to Lavanya. The relationship between Arnav and Lavanya as it was over the day he said, okay, you can leave. And we see ever since Lavanya's been back, Arnav is barely around Lavanya. Arnav barely takes a stand for Lavanya. This is the same man who said Lavanya can do whatever she wants, Lavanya can wear whatever she wants. But we see the shift in Lavanya too. We see her trying to appease his family more. And I think for the most part, this is Lavanya trying to make best of the situation she's in. This is her holding on to the thread of a barely there relationship because her boyfriend is not there anymore. And even if he's not in love with me, he brought me back. So there must be something. So I love that progression plot-wise. I think the growing distance between the two is a great way. It was highlighted in the best ways. And I think the growing distance being the reason that Arnav and Khushi's feelings are being fostered towards one another, that Arnav is having these double thoughts about Khushi's feelings, that Khushi is questioning her own feelings, that is such a beautiful transition in these episodes. So absolutely love that.
I can only agree with you. I think one of the first things that I wrote that what I liked about this part of the track is that Khushi is unable to compartmentalize her feelings. Khushi believes happiness is a shared commodity, but Lavanya's happiness is causing her grief, and she does not know how to handle that. She almost loves Lavanya as much as she loves Payal. Like, she will go to any extent for Lavanya to be happy, just like she will go to any extent for Payal to be happy. But I love the fact that she is surprised at her own grief. Like, one of the things I really like is Arnav and Khushi share the same emotion, but they deal with it so differently. Arnav is in denial, and that comes out with him lashing out on Khushi. Khushi is in denial, and that comes with her not at all acknowledging what she has. So the fact that her suppression hits her so hard, I think it is so beautifully shown in the show. And you know that this is a turning point. Like, if this track did not exist, Diwali would have been very hard to pull off. Because there's no way you can pull these two people to kiss each other until unless this is going on. Also, I really liked this one scene of Khushi crying when Arnav hugs Lavanya, because I think it's a critical point in the show. The first critical point, in my opinion, was the red sari. That gave Arnav his answers to what's happening with him and Khushi. And why is he unexplainably drawn to her? I think this Arnav hugging Lavanya gives Khushi her answer as to what's happening with her and Arnav. And she can no longer deny this. And she knows her own denials are stupid. Because she's becoming a little selfish in love. And I think this is what is called a character growth and character change, which is amazing to see. Another thing I like is, I think A already touched on this, is Arnav's confusion at Khushi's tears, like his dilemma. He knows something is off with Khushi's emotions and he does not know where to place it until and unless. And when he can place it, he almost kisses her. That's what literally happens. I love the fact that at this point, Anjali and the family truly love Lavanya. I think Nani's hatred, it becomes a little more justifiable because all the other people are like, have the same reaction as the audience. They're all like, Nani, now what's your problem? Like, everyone rolls their eyes when Nani has a comment or two. And I love the fact that now it's treated lightly, it's treated with humor. like even Anjali does not pay attention to Nani's comments. Like the weight, like in the beginning when Lavanya came, when Nani would disapprove of her, the weight of her would like, you know, shatter the evening. But this time when Nani is like disapproving of her, then Mami's just like, well, as long as she lives, she's not going to get you too married. And Lavanya's just like, how old is Nani? I love that. This is my favorite line. And I think it is the fact that they treat this with humor makes it much more digestible than previous Nani interactions. So I like the fact that Anjali and all, they truly love Lavanya at this point. Like Anjali is that happy for Lavanya coming home, as happy she is when she finds out Chote and Khushi are having some shared feelings. So I think that is very nice. It's very honest. It's respecting who Lavanya is.
Just another thing that I'm going to add that you reminded me of, actually, that I liked about this track was a conversation between Anjali and Akash over Arnav's behavior.
Adi, aapko lagta hai ki भाई ये
आजकल छोटे जो जो कर रहे हैं ना वो हमने भी कभी नहीं सोचा और जो सच्चा प्यार तुम कह रहे हो सकता है वही कारण हो जो छोटे ये सब कर रहे हैं ना.
They don't track it to them bringing Khushi around the same time Lavanya got in the house. They're like, no, he's definitely in love with Lavanya because obviously it's his girlfriend and he brought her back, as any normal person would, any logical person would. They're not wrong in presuming that. But I just love that everybody is noticing that Arnav is changing, besides Arnav.
You know, one thing I really love is how Anjali and Shyam are doing the identical mistake. They both are realizing that the main leads are changing, but for the completely wrong reasons. And it is such an amazing parallel to watch, because Shyam is like, oh, she must be growing feelings for me. She is growing feelings, not for you. Anjali is like, maybe true love changes people. And Arnav is changing for true love, but it's not for Lavanya. Like, everything is so right and wrong at the same time, which I think is a pleasure to watch. And talking about Shyam, I love him in these episodes. He is so amazing. I love how he's twisting every situation. It's what makes him a compelling villain. He's working like slow poison. He's twisting every single situation for his own benefit. I love the way how unintentionally he's helping Khushi. He's feeding into her mind about love, only strengthening the realization that Khushi wants to run away from a very long time. And I think one of the things I love about this whole thing of Khushi falling in love with Arnav is that love is coming to her the way she always thought love would be, which is her having heartbeats, this man being the center of her world. And that is exactly what's happening to her. And it is so different from Arnav's experience. And I love that we don't even get to see Arnav's experience, because it cements Khushi's hesitation and uncertainty with her feelings, because you're not getting anything from the other side, which I think is pretty much them till Diwali, that neither of them gets anything from the other side until and unless the hospital hug.
Both Arnav and Khushi had these strong preconceived notions about one another. They had these very strong impressions of one another. And those impressions were put to test in these episodes. The moment Lavanya comes back, that test becomes very, very practical and very high stakes. This is no longer whether she likes me or not. Does she appear hot in a sari? Why am I keeping her pile? This is very much, things are going to go south if we don't talk fast. And then they do. They don't talk. They don't communicate. They never come in sync right as they should, even though they have all the intense feelings and those high stakes show. So I love that. I love the momentum that we have over here. And like you said, I love Shyam. If I have to choose a favorite character from these series, it would be Shyam. He's doing God's work. He's doing Devi Maya's work over here.
He is. He sends Khushi to work. He's telling Khushi how love feels. He tells Saleh Sahab to try and, like, you know, rein in his emotions. He got those two married, for God's sake. He was doing more work than Arnav ever did in this relationship. Like, seriously. But yeah, jokes apart, I think one thing I find very interesting about Shyam is this is a sign where you understand his attraction for Khushi is something off. Because Khushi has not given Shyam any indication. And this is where you see the beginning of the delusion, where Shyam thinks Khushi is in love with him. He does not approach Khushi with the thing of that, I love you, perhaps you can love me. He's approaching Khushi with the thing of that, you also love me as passionately as I do. You just don't recognize it. And I think that's so in line with this toxic Indian culture of, actually toxic general culture of men thinking that woman's no is because she doesn't know it yet.
Yes. The twisted consensual ideas that she's playing hard to get, that it's a chase. It's not a chase. It's about, I mean, look at Arnav and Khushi. Unintentional chase over there. But they are doing their very best to avoid one another. And I love that aspect of both Arnav and Akash, that even during his worst moments, Arnav doesn't cross that line of delusion, which Shyam consistently does. And this track definitely cements, if you look at from Shyam's perspective and Shyam's point of view, you see that he really starts to think that Khushi has feelings for him, that Khushi likes him, that Khushi might be troubled by other things, but she is a willing participant in this. He doesn't see how he makes the situation worse for her, how he doesn't give her, he doesn't live up to any of the promises he makes her, that he'll talk to her family members and all that later onwards. But he really buys into the fact that she doesn't know that this is about him.
You know, there's this toxic male narrative that Shyam really fits in, which is, I'm not generalizing, but there is this toxic culture where men are like, I love her. She has emotions. She needs to be taught what love is. She needs to be taught how to feel her sexual desires. I'm the one who teach her all of that. And obviously she loves me. She just needs to learn it. That it's me. Like, taking this role that Shyam really desperately wants to take, because he's attracted by Khushi's innocence.
कम से कम आपने हमारे बारे में सोचना तो शुरू किया. बस ऐसा ही चलता रहा तो बहुत जल्दी हम आपको ये भी सिखा देंगे कि प्यार क्या होता है.
I think the biggest difference over here is that Arnav never wants to take that role. He does not. He genuinely does not. He doesn't even know if Khushi even likes him. For him, Khushi always looks like she's half running out of the door, which she always is. She actually is. But like, that's how it is. And I think for Shyam, he truly comes out as a villain over here because he does not even think, entertain the possibility that Khushi can like any man apart from him because he's her savior.
Not just that, but everybody in this show is placed on a pedestal for somebody. Payal is placed on a pedestal by Khushi as a sister. She's a perfect sister. She's a perfect daughter too. Khushi doesn't see herself as a perfect daughter. Anjali has placed Shyam on a pedestal. Arnav has placed Anjali on a pedestal. There are these unrealistic expectations everybody who has placed somebody on a pedestal has from that person. Shyam himself places himself on a pedestal for Khushi. Khushi never places, I mean, the only people Khushi places on pedestal are her own family members. And she doesn't even place Arnav on a pedestal after their marriage. Khushi never treats Arnav like a god, even though he is her center of universe. But Shyam does that for himself from Khushi's perspective. Like, he doesn't take care, like you said, he doesn't value her consent, obviously. So he places himself in that situation and he doesn't understand why she isn't treating him like the savior that he is. But the thing is, buddy, you placed yourself in that spot. So I love that angle. I love that going forward. I also love the client that he makes do a fake phone call to Shashi. I was like, finally, him using his lawyer brain for something.
For something, seriously. And I love Shashi, basically. I love the fact that this is a person who's like, I have a hunch about this guy and I'm going to try and deal with this. And I think I love it because you have nobody else working on their hunches in the show. So it makes Shyam more compelling because Shashi's hot on his heels. Which they lose this compelling thing after the marriage, to be honest. Because then it feels Shyam has an upper hand on everyone. Therefore, what's the point? And I like the fact that Anjali is upset over here for two reasons. The way he's behaved with Khushi and the kids. And she's upset that something has to go very wrong for Arnav to come and apologize for his actions. This is what we miss a lot in Anjali. She becomes a place for Arnav to grow as a character, for Arnav to be likable as a character. Anjali is what makes Arnav likable in the whole show. Because his love for his sister makes him endearing and gives him his motivations. So I think that was very beautiful. And I also saw that this episode had a lot of things placed now that would pay off later. Like, Arnav does not believe in Khushi. He always thinks she's lying, even though there's not a single proof of her lying. He holds something very small, like Khushi winking at him to try, like, you know, fib into saying that, yeah, he placed the pot somewhere, to believe on a very serious claim that Khushi is lying about the fact that Anjali has fallen. Like, he uses something very small and he applies it in a serious situation. And this is a tendency he has with Khushi throughout.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was about to actually just say the same thing. And I think this goes into what I was saying earlier. Arnav needs a reason to doubt Khushi. Arnav and Khushi both have preconceived notions about one another, and they need even a little bit of reason to go back to those preconceived notions and not linger in their dilemma. So I think this is the first instance where we finally see that happening, where we see him buying into a little bit of a lie that she placed earlier, or the lies that she said by nobody's home, and there were kids home. He's like, yeah, she's lying. It takes him 2 seconds to go back, just as it takes Khushi 2 seconds to call him Rakshas. And they both do the same thing. But the thing is, Arnav's words and actions carry more weight than Khushi's, because Arnav is not just powerful and rich, but also a man. And he occupies space in a way Khushi does not. Khushi is poor. She's working for him. She is struggling. She's a woman who's been pressurized by her family to consider a paying guest as her suitor. Like, that's what they think is the best that would come for her. So she is in no place of occupying that level of privilege or public space, whereas Arnav is. So her going back on first impressions for Arnav does not carry that much weight as Arnav's does for Khushi. And we see the repercussions of it in the latter half of the show. But this, I love that these little instances are sprinkled all around the show, and you get to like really pick up on all of that and learn why the characters do the things that they do.
And I think the one final thing that I like about this whole track is, I think there's one thing about Payal over here where she says she does not want to get married. And I love that, because finally we've addressed that not everyone is happy at the prospect of marriage, especially someone who's had a traumatizing incident with it. It is so realistic that Payal is still exhausted of the idea of marriage, even though it has been months. Finally, someone addressed it. So I'm very happy that actually was there. And it also makes sense as to why then Bwaji thinks of Khushi's marriage, because she knows that Payal is not at all in the mind space, you know, in the head space. And it's also such a slightly clever way of showing how Payal is given more preference in the household, because Payal has said that she won't think about marriage. Therefore, Bwaji almost just, she takes Payal's consent to what Payal wants to think about the marriage, but she does not take Khushi's consent on what Khushi wants to think about the marriage, because she should be obligated for all the, that's, it's always there in the back of the mind that Khushi needs to be obligated to the family because of all the love that they've given her. And that is the general behavior with how the Guptas, except Shashi, treats Khushi. Because I really love, because Shashi is like, we need to make sure that if you're even thinking of anyone for Khushi, it needs to be someone who just does not appear right, but is also is right. So I'm just like, that is amazing. And I think this is one of the few tracks where we see Khushi apologize. I love that her mistakes are not passed off as cute. And I think that is beautiful. Khushi gets upset with the kids she loves a lot, because they did destroy something that was important. And I love the fact that she goes to Arnav and says that you have to understand that it was not intentional, that they did not understand the gravity of the situation. And he was very right in saying that they are manless for entering anybody else's room. They do better parenting here of these random kids than they ever do with Arav. And I do not know how did they intellectually take 10 steps backwards. It's something I do not understand. But over here, I loved it that Khushi does not gloss over the children's mistake because they're children. She's like, no, they made a mistake. It is up to them to own up to what they've done and go to Arnav and apologize for it. And I think I also like it that when Arnav faints, Khushi regrets what she's done. And she says that whatever I'm facing in my own head, it was not right for me to not even ask what he's doing. I did not give him an opportunity to speak. And I think this reflection is what makes Khushi human, and what makes her grow as a character. And the lack of that in the future episodes kind of makes her less relatable and kind of makes her flat as a character. And I love that Arnav's laughter is not a trophy, it's not an achievement. Just like how Arnav's sorry is not an achievement for Khushi, his laughter is also not an achievement for her. She's stunned by it, she's taken aback by it, and it becomes a fond memory in her head.
I definitely loved when after like the laughter, she's like, oh, you didn't look like a Lord Governor. I loved that him laughing and him being vulnerable in front of him for even like few seconds humanized him for a huge extent for her. Like, this girl has been trying to find reasons to stay away from him, but it takes a little bit of effort, not even a whole chunk, not a gesture, just a little bit of Arnav being nice and kind, and her heart does flutters. And I think Arnav later on realizes it when he is unable to believe about her accepting Arav as his child. I mean, she's wrong about that. And he's like, okay, you're wrong. But then when he realizes that she believes that Arav is his child, but she'll accept it, she doesn't have any problem with it, that is when it truly sinks in for Arnav that she'll forgive anything when it comes to him. All he just needs to say is yes. Khushi would do anything for Arnav. All he needs to do is ask. And this is the beginning of that.
Yeah, I think we're finally done with what we liked about this track. So we can quickly talk about the point of focus for today's track. And it is this million-dollar question. Why did Arnav go back to Lavanya? Because as A had said before, I think one of the beautiful things that they showed is that Arnav and Lavanya's relationship genuinely ended the day Lavanya left the house for the first time.
Yeah, Arnav and Lavanya's relationship as equal partners who were in a relationship based on same morals and same values. They did not see a future in marriage. They saw a future with one another without marriage. That ended the night Lavanya said, I want something more. And Arnav said, I can't give you any more than this. It ended. And Arnav only went back because he went back to Lavanya for Khushi's sake. And I refuse to accept any other interpretation of it. And I think that is what makes Lavanya's ending and Lavanya's remaining relationship with Arnav so much more tragic and so much more sadder, because Lavanya genuinely loves Arnav and she's doing her absolute best to placate to his family, but not is she falling short of his family's expectations. She is no longer a person he expects anything from, because she once asked for a lot then he could give and he said he can't. And then he just stopped expecting anything from his girlfriend, because he realized that his girlfriend does not understand him as he thought that she did. With Lavanya and Arnav, these are people who communicate. These are people who are no frills relationship. You know, they are sexually active. There's a scene where Lavanya comes to his room. We see them exchanging kisses outside an office. We see them celebrating anniversary. We see them communicating. We see him drawing boundaries about his role as a boyfriend and his role as a boss. And we see that equal relationship come to an end when he realizes she doesn't get that he is very, very serious. And he's very straightforward about the fact that he cannot physically give her any more. He has given as much companionship and friendship as he can, but he can't do any more than that. And the emotional labor that Lavanya performed in the later half of their relationship after she's brought back is all in vain, because he's no longer at the end of receiving that emotional labor. He was in the beginning, but no longer is he now. And it just breaks my heart for Lavanya, but this is what starts Arnav and Khushi's journey. So this is happy times for us as well.
Yeah, no, I think what I like about this show and what I like over here is that they show it to us that Arnav goes back for all the wrong reasons. He is going back for Khushi. There's almost a sense of defeat when he goes back to Lavanya. There's that thing that Khushi will not reciprocate. And he's not going back to Lavanya because Khushi won't reciprocate. It's it's a confusion. I think what works is that it's not a clear, straight out emotion, but he knows that Lavanya not being a part of his life is putting him at more loss.
Arnav is a very logical person. He thinks from his brain. He's not thinking from his heart, even though his motivation right now is coming from his heart. He went there because he doesn't see himself. And this is the thing that he struggles with Khushi. He doesn't see himself worthy of that amount of love. And he now knows that besides Lavanya, nobody else is going to love him to that depth. Like, he saw Lavanya bore the insults of his family members. He's not going to get somebody else to do that. And he's not going to get the person he likes right now and the person who is on his mind consistently ever do that. It's given that Khushi would never reciprocate, in his mind at least. He's like, it's not going to happen. He's also like, there is no realistic way for him and Khushi to ever test waters and come out unscathed for a happy ending. And I think because Arnav and Khushi both go into their relationship with such low expectations from one another, they're pleasantly surprised after they truly fall in love. They're like, oh, wow, we were missing out on this. But Lavanya is the only realistic option over here.
Also, Lavanya genuinely has connected with his family, because the second most important motivating thing for Arnav, more than his own emotions, is that he prioritizes his family above everything. And he saw that Lavanya genuinely cares for Anjali, and Anjali genuinely loves Lavanya. And he knows that he has saddened everybody around. Lavanya is better than some strange Vidya that his nani might, like, you know, throw on his head. He probably thinks, I have no expectations from a relationship. This is probably the best option.
And it takes him a second to reciprocate Lavanya's hug. And just as his fingers wrap around Lavanya, that's when Khushi's smile falters and the eyes water up. And that's when his face kind of tilts into fully embracing Lavanya, and he notices the drop of tear. And that's when he's like, oh no. But then he's also like, you know, realistically, this is it. When he comes back with Lavanya into the house, Anjali is so happy. Anjali's like, we'll do a puja. And he just walks away from it because he doesn't want to sit through all of that as he did the first time when Lavanya came back. But it is, you are right. He does bring her back because she's better than anybody else. And she is the best option that he has right now. And he hates that, but it's the only option. So he's taking it because he is a businessman.
Yeah, and he has been pestered by his family for months to be married, but even by Anjali, which often hurts me because I'm like, as a sister, you should have done better. He is not blind to what Lavanya has gone. But it's also that thing is that I feel it would have been easier for him if no one called Khushi was around. He would have married her eventually for the sake of his family. But the fact that he has experienced such intense emotions, and Khushi has straight out called him that he does not have a heart. And then what does going back to Lavanya mean? Does he have a heart? Is he proving her wrong? And it's almost like he has no expectations from Khushi. He does not look at her as much. He's only looking at Lavanya. And the whole moment when Khushi cries, it's such a whiplash for him. He's again confused. Poor guy. He barely got his wits together. Like that sigh of defeat he has when all the plants around is kind of like, because she knows him so intimately, but she does not love him. Or she does not feel for him. There's no person who would go to this. I don't think Arnav has had that sense of feeling that someone would sacrifice their own feelings to such an extent at a personal loss. There's nothing Khushi could gain from him and Lavanya being together.
I think that definitely plays later on when there is that situation of we can be miserable together instead of being miserable apart. When like both of them are engaged. But also I love the sequence of reminders. He remembers her saying, did you ever truly love her? And he remembers the tears in her eyes. And then he opens his eyes and he's like, I'm gonna do this for her. He has to prove that he has a heart. You're right. He has to prove that she matters. And he can't rest without knowing that he has the answers to her tears, which is getting him and Lavanya being together. Because he sees that her relationship and friendship with Lavanya is deeper than how she feels about him. What he doesn't know is that he's about to test how much she feels for him just when he gets back with Lavanya.
Yeah.
And I said this in earlier half of the, what I liked about the plot was Khushi tries to compartmentalize a lot about how she feels about Arnav in these days. But once her compartmentalization leads to her avoiding Arnav and him falling sick, she doesn't compartmentalize and she lets things overstep and she doesn't know how to deal with that. And we see him kind of catching up to that slowly.
Yeah, so. And I think the show does an excellent job of showing that because he got back with Lavanya for the wrong reasons, he never truly connects with Lavanya ever again. There are no conversations, there are no moments of intimacy. And I'm not talking about like physical intimacy, I'm talking about emotional intimacy. There's nothing, like he did not listen to what Lavanya does in a day. Which was there in the beginning of the relationship. Lavanya is like, Asar, like, Arnav literally almost laughs when Lavanya is like, Asar, did you imagine me entering your house in red salwar kameez? And Arnav almost breaks into a smile because it is hilarious. And that is such a couple moment between them where he's like, no, this is not how I thought things would go. And they're kind of making fun of how their relatives are treating the situation. But even the humor between them, the banter between them, everything has died. Like, Arnav literally sees Lavanya as a colleague, as something that is holding the family together and keeping everyone's peace. And it's the best worst decision right now.
It really is the most saddest thing. My heart breaks for Lavanya. In lieu of that, I'm just going to add my favorite Arnav Lavanya scene.
Pani Puri?
Isme mineral water hai na?
He is so amused by it. But he also knows she's about to get yelled at, but he literally cannot stop being amused at it. And that is such a couple moment because he knows her. He knows her very well. He knows what she likes and dislikes as much as she keeps a list of his likes and dislikes. But it's my favorite moment that they're so in tune with when Arnav was so in tune with Lavanya. And now all of that has gone to tatters and Lavanya deserved better. My girl deserved better.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that Lavanya seeks the comfort. She seeks an indirect comfort from Arnav, that Arnav loves his family and his family loves her. Therefore, she's being loved by Arnav by some way or the other. And we see that Lavanya slip into a denial. And the very first denial begins with, she doesn't say that Arnav picked me up. She says that,
Ehsan ne mujhe jaane nahi liya thi.
And that's not what happened, babe. You know that's not what happened. She phrases it differently. So you can see that Lavanya realizes that the man who hugged her is not the same. But she's not seeing it. She's not seeing it through that picture. She is seeing this through the lens of, this is a man who did not let me go. And I'm like, this would have been applicable if she left his room and he grabbed her hand and he's like, don't go. I love the fact that we see both Arnav and Lavanya starting on the wrong foot. Because Lavanya was desperate to be with Arnav regardless of what that brought. I love the fact that this is going to doom regardless of Khushi. Regardless of anything in the world. This is going to fall apart because they've both patched up for the worst reason possible. Like none of their reasons for patching up is because they understand what broke the relationship. The very fact that Lavanya does not fight with him the minute he comes back. Because if you truly love someone, and I'm not saying that love has any specific parameters, but if that person comes back, the first thing you're going to ask is, why did you behave like that? Let us talk about it. There's a big loophole in this whole relationship that he's not showing her a future. And she takes his silent return to be like, okay, he's going to marry me. Okay, something is going. She literally became like, I take something instead of everything. And that's why poor girl got left with nothing.
It is also so heartbreaking that the last thing that Arnav does with their breakup when she's dressed as a bride is he tells her, he was not a good boyfriend, and that breakup showed that. Their breakup was going to happen regardless, but the way that breakup happened brought out the ugliest aspect of Arnav being a terrible boyfriend to forefront. And then he comes back because of Khushi, because of what Hushi's words and emotions drove him to. and he just stands there and he doesn't stay for when his family greets her like he did the last time. He doesn't sit in on anything with her as he did the last time. He doesn't try to placate her. He's more inconsiderate.
I think that's what makes Arnav a compelling anti-hero, especially for the time that this show aired. He's not a good person. And we see that time and time again. The only reason, like you said earlier, what humanizes Arnav is his sister. If you take away his family, this is not a nice person. You do not want to talk to this person. You do not want to be friends with this person. He is selfish and he does everything driven by motivation for profit, whether it's in his personal life or his professional life. And obviously that trickles down to a lot of the way he operates with his family members too, to an extent. Not with Anjali though.
To sum this all up, I think one of three excellent things this track does is, one, give us a very fun experiment of showing a whole track from Kushi's perspective. No wonder Arnav always appears either half annoyed or half surprised at what is this woman doing. I loved that. I think that humor was on point. We love the fact that we saw that Arnav and Lavanya are reconnecting for the worst decision possible. And Sanaya Irani blew us off with those amazing comic timing. Like, her skills. Amazing. Love it. So thank you so much, A. I'm pretty sure we went overboard and this is going to be amazing experience for me to edit this. But I haven't enjoyed talking about IPK in a long time as I have today. So thank you so much. It was lovely having you on board. I hope you had a good time.
Absolutely. I am hands down willing to talk about IPK at any given moment with any given person. You show me a little bit of interest and I will start my rants. And then people will be taken aback by how deeply I care about this. And they're like, are you normal? But I love consuming media of any kind, and IPK is my favorite form of consumption. And I'm just so thankful that you even asked me and considered me and to hear my rant. So thank you so much for inviting me on.
It is my pleasure. And to everyone over here, I will say once again, we do not hate Arnav. We love him as well. So please do not comment saying that this is a hate Arnav podcast. It is not, okay? You know what that red sari moment did to me. But yes, to everyone, thank you so much for your love. Please write down your comments below what you thought about this particular track, any thoughts, any points we missed out. I'm pretty sure it's over an hour, but then it was like, I think 2 weeks worth of episodes. No matter how much we discuss, we are bound to miss something or the other. So please leave your comments. I read each and every one of them. It makes my day. And we will see you sometime next week. Take care. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.